22-37. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew the thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. But by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. God bless the reading of his sacred word. The title of our message today is, What is the Unpardonable Sin? During the last days of my father's life on earth, he was very careful to confess all his sins, every known sin. And he said to me, I might have committed the unpardonable sin. Well, I knew he could not, because what we are going to study about the unpardonable sin is really a hideous sin that I cannot imagine of any one of us. Those of us who are also of such a low frame of mind, if we are concerned about our sins,
surely the Lord will forgive us. For David himself testifies that the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. A contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Today let us, when we come here, not only be hearers and sermon tasters. There are some who come Sunday after Sunday to hear if there is anything new. But we should rather have the spirit of repentance and be doers of the word. In this passage of scripture that we read, this is a very strange case. When here is brought before Jesus a man possessed by a blind and a dumb devil, and Jesus cast that devil out and he began to speak and to see. And the Pharisees immediately comment, this miracle by Jesus is not by any power, but by Beelzebub, that is the name of the prince of devils in the Hebrew language. But Jesus, the Son of God, he not only repulses his enemy by the power of the word of his mouth, he also uses logic and reasoning. But it's a very sad thing. What is a blasphemy of against the Holy Spirit? The unpardonable sin it is. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to tell a downright lie against the truth that is being convicted in the hearts of those in the circumstances. Here was Jesus having the power to cast out this devil, and all the people amazed and gave glory to God. But the Pharisees came to defame our Lord, to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit by telling a lie when it is the truth, is the unpardonable sin. The same thing did the Pharisees to our Lord when he opened the eyes of one who was born blind, according to John chapter 9. Jesus told him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he went there and washed, immediately he saw. And he praised the Lord. And he went around everywhere telling people, one who is called Jesus, open my eyes. But the unbelief of the Pharisees was such that they would never accept that testimony. Three times they tried to circumvent the evidence. And they say to the parents, is this really your son? The parents, not daring to offend them, said, well, you ask him, he's old enough. Of course, the parents would know who he was. He was a son and he was now with open eyes saying. But the Pharisees cast out this man whose eyes were open, and they themselves became the blind. These are the Pharisees. Are there Pharisees today? The sin of these unbelieving Pharisees is being repeated today by the modern counterparts. And most surprisingly, it is in those who are teaching theology in the seminaries and Bible colleges. The professors of theology, are they entrenched teaching the very things against the Word of God? Telling a lie when it's a truth. Please pray for the Farisan Bible College. I shall be speaking at the 40th anniversary next year, and I ask to be the speaker because you are going to hear my testimony of why I'm here. To those who are praying for our Bible College, and I thank God for them, I say that's why I'm here. I refuse to die in order to defend against many inroads of unbelief, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Those who are teaching the truth but teaching lies. Well, all this started from England in the 1880s. There were two Greek scholars, now very well known on the lips of everybody you should know, called Westcott and Hort. They worked their way into the Anglican Church, and their desire was to topple the King James Bible. And they have a very good reason, because we have discovered lately two new codexes of manuscripts of the Bible. One is called the Codex Sinaiticus, that means the manuscript from Sinai. And the other is the Codex Vaticanus. It is a manuscript from the Vatican. And these are the oldest manuscripts dating from the 4th century. And so they say they, therefore, are the best. But we have a humorous saying in the Presbyterian Church, in the Chinese Presbyterian Church, and it's to make fun of ourselves. And we say, the more we grow, the older we become. And to be older doesn't mean to be good. We have to be younger. So the Chinese proverb is, yue zhang yue lao. You grow, but you become older, that's all. Doesn't mean that because of a thing is old, then it is good. For there was another great stalwart and scholar called Dean Bergen, who challenged Westcott and Hort. That you say these two are the best and the oldest are in fact the worst. Why they were found? Because they were bad. That's why they remain. The good ones are worn out and then they're burned. The bad ones, they left it in a waste paper basket. Well, Westcott and Hort got through to topple the King James Bible by now presenting his text. And his text takes away three very precious parts of the Bible. The first one is the portion of the woman taken in adultery and Jesus pardoned her. I say this is the most wonderful story about the magnanimity of our Lord Jesus Christ. how it comforts our hearts. We are guilty. We often have done things gone astray. And yet he said, sin no more. And he pardons us. The second part, the last 12 verses of Mark, are missing, so they cut it out. And the third portion is 1 John 5:7. Where the King James Bible has it clearly stated the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Word, and the Son. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. If you look into the NIV, you'll find that this verse is entirely disappeared. Together with these three principal parts of the Bible that Reverend Hort had cut off to present his new text, 9,900 words are also tempered with, either subtracted or added to the Bible. Equivalent to 8 chapters of the Bible, equivalent to 1st and 2nd Peter, torn away from the Bible. And that is how it is. I want to thank God for this book that was distributed to you. It is our custom in the church, whenever we publish a new book, it's given 1,000 copies out to the two worship services of this church. Kept pure in all ages, according to the Westminster Confession that believes God has preserved the Bible pure. Please read this book and study it. And we have a very encouraging word from Elder Mahadevan. When he reads this book, he made a very encouraging comment. Well, that's the situation. But the work of Satan was such, was it was a surreptitious, a very clandestine work to keep the evil of these two men away from the church. So the seminaries, even fundamental seminaries, even Bob Jones University today accepts Westminster and Hort. And when I was in seminary in 1948, I was told that all the deliberations and conclusions of Westminster and Hort were almost the infallible Word of God. In the same year, 1948, Dr. D.A. Waite, who did a mighty work here, he was also hoodwinked to believe in the corrupt texts of Westcott and Hort. But in 1970, beginning from 1970, there was an awakening. When earlier scholars had warned about Westcott and Hort, and Dr. Waite especially arose, and of course he influenced us. We did not know, but Dr. Jeffrey Koo, myself, and other faculty members, we gladly followed their leading. And today there is a movement around the world, including the Trinitarian Bible Society, which is very venerable. My brother, Dr. S.H. Toh, Mr. David Cloud, who has recently come to Singapore. We all stand together in order to defend the Word of God, to return to the King James Bible, which has blessed the church for 400 years, from 1611 till now. Great revivals have broken out by using this Bible throughout the 400 years. And so this is what the Lord is beginning to do today. But today, through the last 50 years, has spawned about 150 new Bibles. It really scares you. Every night there's a new Bible coming out. This is more up to date, and the English is more modern and so forth. To hoodwink the unsuspecting church member. And of all these 100-odd new versions, we call them perversions, the one that has now become the head runner is the NIV, New International Version. But when you turn to the NIV, you find the three passages I mentioned just now, the woman taking adultery, the last 12 verses of Mark, 1 John 5:7, where the statement on the Holy Trinity is given, are missing. But cunningly, they are also put back. And then they draw two lines to say that this is not in the Bible, but anyway, we put it there. It is very cunning of the publishers. The reason is, if they take away those passages, the faithful members of the church will not buy them. So they are both in and are out at the same time. In truncated form, I call it in truncated, that means they are sawn off, but put there anyway. So the NIV is a great challenge to the King James Version, that it will so surprise you if you go to the bookstores, Christian bookstores in Singapore today, you cannot find the KJV. They all sell to us. We are the only ones selling the KJV. The bookstores say, this cannot, tak boleh jalan. It cannot go. You want, you can buy at a cheap price. But we thank God that a lot of independent Bible-believing churches who still stick to the King James will come to our book room to buy them. At least we have a depot of the good Bible. The NIV. And all these verses have been polluted by Westcott and Hort. If the Pharisees who told a lie against the truth that was convicting their hearts, they are called blasphemers of the Holy Spirit. How much more are today all the professors of theology who rely on Westland Hort and attack the King James? How much more are Westland Hort, more than the Pharisees, in blaspheming the Holy Spirit? And these are entrenched in all the big and famous seminaries of America, so much so that it is hard for us to find a higher school of learning for our own people. Thank God for Pensacola Christian College that has arisen to take this stand also together with us. Today, this has not only happened in America in the big and famous seminaries, but it is flooding the whole world. It's hard to find a good school to study the Word of God. And not only in many other parts of the world, but I must warn, in Singapore as well. What is the unpardonable sin? It is a sin of teaching a lie when it is the truth, and vice versa. So I would like to ask you to pray for the faculty of Fison Bible College that we may not be infiltrated by all these doctrines of lies, that we may stand firm for the truth till He comes. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, how we thank Thee for Thy word and Thy truth, Thy holy word that is only inspired, infallible, inerrant, but also that word that is preserved for us unto this day. And we thank Thee for the Old Testament that was endorsed by our Lord Jesus Christ, and for the received text that we have, our New Testament. We pray Thee, O Lord, that many will awaken to the blasphemy of Wesleyan Hort and many professors who, having been shown the truth, still remain in the same error. Bless the church, O Lord, that we may also stand together for the truth. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.